Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. Let's start with a short article from AARP, The Bulletin. This is a magazine. And this is about the 50 years of hip-hop and rap. So at the movies, we had one of the earliest examples of hip-hop Hollywood was 1983's Flashdance. Jennifer Beals sees break dancers spinning and moonwalking on the sidewalk and incorporates some similar moves into her own routine. Two of the most revered hip-hop movies were released in 1983. Wild Style was a feature about a graffiti artist, and Style Wars was a documentary about graffiti artists that featured rappers, DJs, and breakdancers. One of the worst rappers of all time is a fictional character. In the 1998 satirical film Bullworth, Warren Beatty plays a weary Senator J. Billingsworth Bullworth, who rapped at a campaign event. A watershed moment for hip-hop Hollywood was John Singleton's Best Director Oscar nomination for 1991's Boys in the Hood. Among its stars, Ice Cube, who also contributed his song, How to Survive in South Central, to the soundtrack. And then, who's the queen of the screen? It's Queen Latifah, who started her career as a rapper. Among her highlights, starred on sitcom Living Single, hosted The Queen Latifah Show on daytime TV, and starred in numerous feature films, including Bringing Down the House and Steel Magnolias, received a Best Supporting Actress Oscar nomination for 2002's Chicago. Now we have a list of rappers in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, starting in 2007 with Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, 2009, Run DMC, 2012, Beastie Boys, 2013, Public Enemy, 2016, NWA, 2017, Tupac Shakur, 2020, The Notorious B.I.G., 2021, LL Cool J, and 2021, Jay-Z, 2022, Eminem. Now, from AARP, The Bulletin, we have a little squib here. Your money, financially speaking, we have a Q&A. I am 76 and long divorced from an abusive ex-husband. When I applied for Social Security, I chose not to claim a benefit on his record, even though his job was more lucrative, because I was afraid he would know and get violent. Is it too late for me to apply, and will he be notified if I do? No, it's not too late, and no, he won't be notified. Assuming you qualify, for example, your marriage lasted at least 10 years, you can still receive a higher monthly benefit through his record, effective as of the date you apply for it. He won't be told about this, and his own benefit won't change. People can, however, ask the Social Security Administration who is collecting on their record. So, if your ex-husband does so after you've started collecting, the SSA will disclose your name, but not your address. I live in Texas with my husband. He has $40,000 in business credit card debt in his name only. Since Texas is a community property state, if something should happen to him, would I be liable for his debt? After conversations with five lawyers, the best answer that financially speaking can give you lies somewhere between it depends and probably not. In the U.S., widows and other heirs generally aren't responsible for a dead person's debt, but the deceased's estate is. It's more complicated in community property states where assets acquired and debts incurred in a marriage are often legally split between spouses. But as for unsecured debt, such as credit card balance, surviving spouses are, quote, greatly protected under Texas law, says Carlos Aguinaldo, team manager of the Wills and Estates Group at Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid. For example, your home and up to $50,000 of personal property for a single adult are off limits, but $50,000 in a joint account probably wouldn't be safe. They suggest you find a 401k and IRA accounts which are shielded from creditors and retitle any car titles in your spouse's name as transferable to you on death. A creditor is likely to come after you if you have few assets. It's unlikely to come after you, says Claire Johnson, Rabba, formerly of Bay Area Legal Aid in Oakland, California, another community property state. In her experience, when low-income widows got collection notices, a written response saying that the women had no collectible assets usually ended the matter. Now we're going to look at how to live with tinnitus, and this is from AARP, the magazine. Nearly one in four people over age 65 are plagued by phantom sound. Here are expert tips for managing this complex condition. In the spring of 2019, Dan Torpey, 59, a forensic accountant in Dallas, was recovering from a sinus infection when he started hearing a high-pitched sound, like a toned-down dentist drill. I went to an urgent care doctor who checked my hearing and said, "You're fine. It'll go away." Torpey recalls, it didn't. 7 months later, he saw an ear, nose, and throat specialist, ENT, who told Torpey that he had tinnitus, the perception of sound in the absence of an external source. The ENT said there was no cure, but suggested he reduce his caffeine intake. Then Torpey went to an audiologist. The audiologist told him that he just had to live with it. He says, "I felt so alone. There's the initial shock that the ringing in your ears isn't going to go away. And then there's the realization that most doctors don't have a clue about how to treat it." Torpey's experience is all too common. In a survey of 230 people with tinnitus published in 2018, researchers at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign found that 80% had been informed by a healthcare provider that there's nothing they can do about tinnitus. Patients who come to our clinic are scared by the thought of dealing with this sound without help for the rest of their lives, says Lori Zitelli, a clinical audiologist at the UPMC Ear and Eye Institute in Pittsburgh. Why some of us hear things that aren't there. Tinnitus affects at least 25 million American adults, and the prevalence of the condition increases dramatically with age. A recent international JAMA neurology study showed that tinnitus impacts 24% of people 65 and older, and 14% of 45 to 64-year-olds. By the time they're 50 or 60, many people have been exposed to years of loud music, which damages the inner ear, causing hearing loss, notes Bradley Kesser, MD, a professor of otolaryngology at the University of Virginia School of Medicine. While everyone with hearing loss doesn't get tinnitus, most people with tinnitus have hearing loss. Anyone can get tinnitus, but people with noisy jobs, from construction workers to military personnel to musicians, are especially affected. For a condition so common, it's remarkably misunderstood. Even ringing in the ears, the customary description, doesn't capture everyone's experience. Tinnitus can sound like buzzing, whistling, chirping, humming, hissing, squealing, wailing, or clicking. For some, it ebbs and flows, or it disappears and then returns, especially during times of stress. Scientists can't explain the individual variations, but research is starting to point to why tinnitus happens and what to do about it. A minority of those with the condition have a treatable issue, like an ear infection or earwax buildup. Once those issues are addressed, the tinnitus often goes away. It's not in your brain. Oh, excuse me. It is in your brain, not in your ears. Doctors usually can't hear or measure directly your tinnitus. The reason? While ear damage plays a casual role, the sound comes from your brain. People over 60 usually have high-frequency hearing loss, and tinnitus is typically a high-frequency sound. So one theory is that the brain may be trying to fill in the sound that's missing from the ears, Kesser observes. Research at the University of Illinois' Auditory Cognitive Neuroscience Lab indicates that non-auditory parts of the brain are involved too. Our fMRI scans of tinnitus patients show that the networks that produce attention and emotion are different in these people than those without the condition. So these non-auditory networks are probably contributing to the tinnitus as well, says Fatima Hussein, the principal investigator at the lab. The spectrum of what people with tinnitus complain about, difficulty concentrating and sleeping, and increased sensitivity to normal environmental sounds, is mirrored in our brain imaging. Getting used to it. The goal of most scientifically validated tinnitus treatments is habituation, reaching a point where the sound no longer bothers you or harms your quality of life. We habituate to irritants all the time, Kesser says. For instance, a tag in your shirt might bother you when you first put it on, but an hour later you don't notice it. Kesser adds that the first step in managing tinnitus may be sound therapy. Bringing in external noises, such as that from a fan or a TV, to mask the tinnitus. For people with hearing loss, hearing aids may be more effective. They bring in a little external background noise and can drown out the internal tinnitus, Kessler pointed out. For those who are anxious, depressed, or having trouble sleeping, antidepressants can help, and as can relaxation techniques such as yoga and meditation, he says. Another method called tinnitus retraining therapy combines sound therapy, in which earbuds deliver a low level of sound to reduce the auditory impact of the tinnitus, with counseling to help patients view it as an unimportant sound. The American Tinnitus Association, ATA, can help you find an experienced practitioner. Healthy habits, including a nutritious diet and regular exercise, may also help with tinnitus, according to the ATA, since they can reduce blood pressure and weight and bolster energy and well-being. Most people with tinnitus ultimately use a variety of techniques to create an approach that works for them, says San Diego resident Loretta Marsh, 70, who has had the condition for 22 years and is a longtime ATA volunteer. I always suggest that newly diagnosed patients form a support group. Being around other people who have tinnitus can give you hope and help you see you're not alone. Don't give up. Maintaining hope is vital. Paul D'Arezzo, 70, a retired emergency room doctor in Grand Junction, Colorado, began hearing a shrill tone in his left ear 5 years ago. He was tormented by his tinnitus to such a degree that he had suicidal feelings. One of the things that helped me was writing 50 questions on index cards like, "What am I going to do today if I start feeling overwhelmed by tinnitus?" and going through them every morning, he says. To this day, every time I start paying attention to the sound, I remind myself, just don't go there. Then I distract myself. Torpy took a stress reduction course, and the ATA helped him find an audiologist who specializes in tinnitus. I still hear the sound, he says, but now that I've learned to manage it, it doesn't bother me like it used to. And this article was written by Jenny Graves, who is an award-winning writer who contributes regularly to a variety of national publications. She specializes in psychology, health, profiles, and personal essays. Now, moving on to AARP, the Bulletin. The cover story from this issue is How We Are Changing America. An aging population is shaking up our country. Why it's happening and what it means. Now, this is quite a lengthy article, so we're going to get started on it today and then continue. Take a look around. We live in a country that is being transformed in ways both obvious and hidden by older Americans. Our growing numbers and enduring vitality ensure that this disruption will continue to roll through the American economy, culture, society, and politics. We, the people, at midlife and beyond, represent the third largest economy in the world after China and the U.S. as a whole. But we are more than just consumers and wealth holders. We are workers, thinkers, influencers, and innovators, with the power to shape markets and exert pressure on corporations and elected leaders. We must use that power to push for an America that is better prepared for our needs as we, and those who follow us, journey through life to old age. That's a good story, and it's ongoing. From work and jobs to healthcare and leisure pursuits, things look the way they do because of this power. And there's more change and a brighter future coming for everyone. Let's take a look at this phenomenon one sector at a time. So let's start with the workplace. Despite decades of rampant ageism in the workplace, the number of workers 65 and older has mushroomed by 117% in the span of 20 years, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Remarkably, employment of individuals 75 and older has increased by the same percentage, and the trend is growing strong. I'm getting a lot of requests by employers to talk to their teams about how they can integrate older workers in their workforce, says Janine Vanderberg, senior strategist for Changing the Narrative, a national campaign funded by the Next 50 Initiative to end ageism. Hiring older workers is not mere altruism. An estimated 10 million jobs in America are sitting unfulfilled. This has forced a change in recruitment to target those of all ages, Vanderberger says. Older workers' preference for remote work, especially in retirement, is pushing employers to be more flexible about where work happens. There are also greater opportunities for part-time work. One company with an informal phased retirement program is the financial services firm Principal. Employees 57 and older with at least 10 years of service are able to transition from full-time to part-time jobs. Principal also has a boomerang program that allows former employees to return as part-timers. We're encouraging managers to engage with folks who are planning to retire and have a discussion about the parts of the job that the person really enjoys and what the needs of the company are, said John Couture, Principal's Chief Human Resources Officer. Tax preparation firm Jackson Hewitt is increasingly hiring retirees from January through April. We find that retirees are really great at being interactive with clients and showing empathy, says Alicia Brannon, Jackson Hewitt's Director of Talent Programs and Attractions. Another trend is returnships, short-term employment programs intended to help people who have been out of the workforce ease their way back in. Trimble, a global industrial technology company, has partnered with the nonprofit Path Forward since 2020 to offer returnships. Most participants then get full-time jobs at Trimble, the company reports. Finally, AARP continues to expand its employer pledge program, in which companies commit to equal consideration of all job applicants regardless of age. Last year, 568 additional companies with a total of 1.5 million employees signed the pledge, up from 477 new signers with 1.1 million workers in 2021. Now we'll look at healthcare. Want to see what marketplace clout looks like? Thanks to the demands of an informed, health-conscious population of older Americans, it seems like nearly every purveyor of goods or services in the U.S. is also in the health business. At the local level, what restaurants, boutique, grocery, dry cleaner, or lawn service doesn't cater in some ways to the health and safety needs of its customers? And it's even more true at the national level, where big names such as Amazon, Walmart, and Target are making major investments in health services and products. Older Americans spend heavily on health care, as everyone knows. In fact, it's the only broad spending category that keeps rising with people's ages, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. In 2021, boomer households spent an average of $6,600 per year on health care, and older households spent $7,050. In contrast, millennials spend at least a third less. More than previous generations, older people today want to be as active and healthy as possible, and the retail industry is picking up on that, said Rachel Bonsignor, vice president at the consumer research firm GFK Consumer Life. Among retailers' giant investments in healthcare, in February, Amazon dropped nearly $4 billion to purchase the primary care chain One Medical, and it rolled out prescription drug and healthcare membership programs. Discount retailer Dollar General is piloting mobile healthcare units that roll up in front of stores for on-demand doctor appointments. This year, Walmart announced it would double the number of its Walmart Health in-store clinics in 2024. Drugstore chain CVS is also moving beyond the pharmacy counter. At the 1,100-minute clinics inside CVS stores, healthcare practitioners trained in age-friendly care have joined more than 3,000 hospitals, doctor's offices, and other sites in a growing movement that focuses on older adults' medical needs and how best to treat them, according to Terry Fulmer, president of the John A. Hartford Foundation. The foundation, along with the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, has been working on an initiative to help older adults stay mobile, avoid risky medications, and get care that matters to them, and receive help for dementia, depression, and other mental health issues. And it's moving beyond doctor's offices and into the places where older adults increasingly turn for health care. CVS will spend $10.6 billion on Oak Street Health to expand the retailer's reach in underserved communities. AARP has a relationship with Oak Street Health. End of Prince. But the ultimate in healthcare convenience comes in home care that rivals the excellence of hospitals such as NYU Langone. It's a trend that is picking up steam. Since last September, 200 mostly older residents of Long Island, New York, have received hospital-level treatment for pneumonia, asthma flare-ups, and other medical problems in the comfort of their own home. We take everything from the brick-and-mortar hospital, except the bed, and bring it home, says Jonathan Kelly, an osteopathic physician and medical director of NYU's Langone Hospital, Long Island's home hospital program. That includes nurses, physical therapists, supplemental oxygen, intravenous antibiotics, intensive wound care, meals planned by a dietitian if you need them, and more. Nearly 300 hospital-at-home programs are running in the U.S., and by 2030, an estimated 1 in 6 American hospitals will offer them, Kelly notes. The scale of the home health care movement is huge. The consulting firm McKinsey & Company estimates $265 billion in care for Medicare beneficiaries will be delivered at home by 2025. That is clout. Next time, we'll look at financial services. Now, here's a quick look at some of the places you spend money. In recent months, several big-name retailers and restaurant chains have shut down all or some of their locations. But the business news isn't all gloom and doom. Here are some fast-growing merchants that may be coming to your neighborhood soon, if they're not there already. Aldi, new stores opened in 2022, 120. Current store count, 2,305. New stores planned for 2023, 56. Wingstop, new restaurants opened in 2022, 228. Current store count, 2,000. New restaurants planned for 2023, 240. Tractor Supply, new stores in 2022, 63. Current count, 2,164. New stores planned, 70. Fun fact, the chain recently produced a limited edition scented soap inspired by its signature ranch dressing. Let's see, that was Wingstop. Ulta, new stores opened in 2022, 45. Current store count, 1,355. New stores planned, 27. Burlington Shoes, Burlington Stores. New stores opened in 2022, 87. Current store count, 927. New stores planned, 70 to 80. Fun fact, the founder's wife, a school librarian, invested her life saving to help launch Burlington. Then we have Wawa. New stores in 2022, 39. Current count, 1,000. New stores planned, 100. Fun fact about this, the convenience store chain headquartered near Philadelphia paid $5.4 million last year to have a regional rail stop near Wawa Station. Dollar General, new stores in 2022, 1,021. Current store count, 19,147. New stores planned, 1,065. Fun fact, 75% of Americans live within 5 miles of a Dollar General store. How about that? Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.